Good to be in the house of the Lord again as we give thanks for our mothers and for the influence of women in our lives, godly women in our lives. And this morning I want to look at that, so the influence of godly women. I want to remind us out of the book of 2 Timothy of the influence that Timothy's grandmother and his mother had over him as a growing young man, and then a leader of the Christian church as they just influenced his own life in that sort of way. Well, I'm going to read a couple of verses. First of all, first seven verses of chapter 1, and then a few verses out of chapter 3 as well. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and the Lord Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as our forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And then in chapter 3, reading from verse 14. But as for you, talking about Timothy, of course, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The influence of godly women, I'm sure most of us can reflect on a mother or a grandmother or somebody in our lives who cared for us, who loved us, who showed us the way. I'm grateful in my own life. I had a mother who was passionate about the Lord, who served the Lord in every single possible way that she possibly could, once she had come to a deep faith and knowledge of who the Lord was. And in the story we have, in this passage we have, Paul reminding Timothy of the incredible influence that his mother and his grandmother had on him as a leader. This letter is written about 40 years after Paul had first met Timothy. And now he's reminding Timothy of some of those things of the early days of when he first called him to be part of his team and lay his hands on him and set him aside to be a pastor for the ministry. I think I've shared with you before that even in my own case, I really know that to a large degree, I'm in the ministry because of a commitment that my parents made. When I was born, my parents up until that point in time had been in here. Members of the NGA church, and they had gone to have their children just christened, as they often do in the NGA church. But when they became Christians, they realized that what was happening wasn't found in the Bible. And so they didn't know what to do with me, because I was born after they became a Christian. So they didn't do anything with me. They didn't take me to the church. And when I was about 6 or 7, they saw their first dedication service in a Baptist church. And they wanted to dedicate me, but they felt I was already too old to take as a baby to be dedicated. Okay, there we go. Too old to take as a baby to be dedicated, so they decided rather just to dedicate me at home. And so they dedicated me to the Lord's service. And so I'm very keenly aware of being set aside for the Lord's work. Well, let me remind you of these two women. First of all, I want to remind you of their godly lives. First of all, they were most likely some of Paul's earliest converts. It's not much light here, so I'll have to use my... First of all, Timothy is mentioned as a disciple in Acts chapter 16, in verses 1 to 3. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. This was Paul's second missionary journey. So Paul, when he first went to missionary, first went to Lystra, it was on his first missionary journey. It says this about them in Acts chapter 14. Paul had had some trouble in the town where he was. And in Acts chapter 14, it says, they, that was Paul and Silas, fled to the Laodicean cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. So friends, on Paul's very first missionary journey, he went to the town where Timothy was. And more than likely, Timothy was just a young baby at that point in time. But he met Timothy's mother and father and grandmother and led them to the Lord. And then teaches them about the scriptures. And then by the time they go for a second time round, Paul goes for the second missionary journey. Timothy, by that stage, he himself had become a believer. So friends, this mother and this grandmother were one of Paul's first converts in his very first missionary journey as he went out to share the gospel with what was then, or what we now know as Europe today. So not only were they most likely some of Paul's first converts, we notice also that they were converts from Judaism. It says this, they were believers regardless of the place the women, they were believers regardless of the place of women in Jewish religious practices. Friends, we read in Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 16, it says, Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer. So they come from a Jewish background. Why is this so important for us to understand? Friends, we need to understand that these two women grew up in a time where women were not honored in church. In fact, they were not even honored in common life. I think I've shared with you before, to be a woman in those days was not easy at all. For a man to be divorced from his wife, he could simply go to the temple and in front of the priest, he could say to the priest, say to his wife, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and that was the end of it. There was no more marriage. Just simply saying, I divorced you three times, friends, meant that the woman was divorced. The woman could not divorce the husband. Regardless of what he did, she had no rights at all. If you went to court and you had a court case against somebody, the testimony of one man equaled the testimony of two women. So it needed the testimony of two women to prove somebody's guilt as opposed to one man. Many Jewish men used to pray. It was required of them. When they woke up in the morning, they had to say, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not born a Gentile, a woman, or a slave." Although some of the other translators say, "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not born a Gentile, a woman, or a dog." Now you can imagine, being a woman in those days was not easy, was it? These were Jewish women. In fact, when they went to the synagogue, they had to stand behind a curtain because only the men friends were allowed to be in the main sanctuary. So let's just grasp that reality. These were two converts that came out of Judaism. And yet, friends, we see an incredible influence they had over Timothy. Thirdly, notice also that they were believers in an unbeliever's home. That passage in Acts chapter 16, it says, Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. So not only were they in a difficult place from belonging to a religion that didn't like them, they also were in a home in which the father practiced his Greek religion. They were in many ways a mixed marriage. What does it mean by them being in that home? Well, we notice that also, that when Paul wanted to set aside Timothy to be part of his group, the passage carries on a little bit further on in verse 3. It says, Paul wanted to take him along his journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew about the faith. The father was a Greek. Friends, the father just wasn't a Greek in name. This father was a Greek in practice. He insisted that the children in his home be raised according to his religion. And friends, this is vital for us to understand the reality of who these two women were. Everything was against them. They were Jewesses, living at a time when Jewish women were not considered of great value. They were living at a time when the Greeks did not consider them of great value. And yet, friends, they are the ones who influenced one of the most significant early church leaders, this young man called Timothy. And we need to acknowledge that this morning. The church these days, friends, is filled with women who are the spiritual heads of their home. The sad reality is that there are many homes in which fathers have rejected Christianity or rejected faith of any sorts. But it's our women, the women who are upholding the faith in homes today. It's the women who are taking their children to church. It's the women who are setting the pace in terms of wanting to acknowledge God in church. You just have to look at the records of who are the members of church congregations. Patricia and I often travel in the rural areas amongst many of our Xhosa churches. And if you go to the vast majority of our Xhosa churches, you will discover that the women outnumber the men about 90% to 10%. That's the sad reality. But friends, that's not only true of our Xhosa churches. It's true of all churches. The reality is that women have taken up a major leading place in the life of our churches. The reality of their godly lives. Everything was against them. Everything was difficult for them. It wasn't easy for them to have a faith, let alone a faith in Jesus Christ. Yet, friends, they stand up as incredible examples of women who had great faith, who lived godly lives, who influenced those around them. But I want you to notice, secondly, the character of their godly lives. What kind of faith did they have? Well, first of all, we are told in verse 5, Paul says that it was a sincere faith. Verse 5, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Timothy's faith, friends, was sincere because he had seen sincere faith in his own mother and his own grandmother. This word sincere in Greek is a very interesting word. It's the word that it literally means to be without hypocrisy. You could not criticize their faith. There was no hypocrisy in their faith at all. Now, I know I've used this illustration before, but let me remind you of it. The word hypocrite comes out of the acting world of the Greek world. The word hypocrite literally means wearing a different mask. As the theater of those days, people who belonged to the theaters of those days were very poorly paid. And very oftentimes when they would put on a play, they didn't have enough actors to put on the play. So what they would do is they would have the actors with a mask, different masks, one mask in this hand and another mask in that hand. And depending on which character they were playing, they would put that mask in front of their face. So if they were playing the character of a bad person, they would put this mask in front of the face and they would act. And then they would become a good person and they would put the other mask in front of their face. That's where the word hypocrite comes from. A person with many masks. What you see on one occasion, you don't see on another occasion. But this particular word, friends, means a person who doesn't wear any masks. What a wonderful picture that is, isn't it? To be a believer that is without hypocrisy, not wearing many masks. And the sad reality, friends, is that we have many Christians who are great Christians on a Sunday, but the rest of the week are not believers at all. Friends, we need to remember that. They had a sincere faith. That's why they could believe. That's why Timothy became such a strong Christian, because what he saw in the marketplace is what he saw at home. There was no difference in who Timothy saw when he saw these women's faith. Not only that, they had a secure faith. They were absolutely convinced of that faith. Verse 5 carries on. It says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am now persuaded, now lives in you, also lives in you. That word now also lives in you. is again a very interesting. Sometimes it's translated in the King James as now dwells within you. The word literally means, the word to dwell there means somebody who isn't a transient person, but somebody who lives there permanently. So it's not a holiday maker who comes to church, you know, and goes again. These were people who were sincere. They were dwelling. They had a secure faith. Their faith wasn't something they put on for occasion, friends. They were always dwelling in the presence and the wonder of God. Jesus once, when he was talking, it says this in Romans chapter 8. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is dwelling with you, is living with you, who has raised Christ from the dead and also give life in your mortal bodies through his spirit who now dwells in you. That's the picture that Timothy had. This faith was a sincere faith. But it was not only a sincere faith, it was a secure faith. It dwelt in their hearts. It didn't come and go. The faith, friends, was there on a permanent basis. And then, thirdly, they had a sharing faith. Verse 6 says, for this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. I believe Paul, when he was talking about the spirit of power and love and self-discipline, is talking about the example that Timothy had learned from Lois and from Eunice. Paul is encouraging Timothy, friends, to use the same gifts, the gifts that his mother and his grandmother used. Paul is convinced, friends, that Timothy's faith is real, largely due to his mother and his grandmother's influence on his life. Timothy's faith and ministry had influenced countless people, for Christ began with two committed mothers. Friends, this is the influence of godly women. Women who have had an influence on our lives. It's said that Charles and... the Wesley's mother, Charles and what's his other name? John Wesley. Charles and John Wesley, I think her mother's name was Susanna. She had 17 children. Every week, she would spend 1 hour with each of her children, teaching them spiritual truths. Every day, she spent 1 hour praying for her 17 children. Now, I don't know about you, but it just doesn't take a lot of kind of mental gymnastics to realize that, you know, 7 plus 17 is 24 hours. 3 hours of every day of that mother was devoted, 3 hours of every day of every week was devoted to inputting into her children's lives Christian truth. Now, we had two children, and raising two children was difficult enough because, as they say, the one thing about children, the endless thing about children is there's always washing and there's always dishes. Now, you can imagine if you have 17 children, how much washing there is. No DeFi washing machine, no dishwasher. 17 children that you needed to look after. And yet she found the time, friends, to care for her children spiritually. Charles Wesley wrote over 6,000 hymns. John Wesley rode over 250,000 kilometers on a horse and preached 40,000 different sermons over his lifetime. That's a mother, friends, who had influence. Now, we can all still have influence. I know some of our children are still gone, or gone out of our homes. But, friend, you have the ability to influence your grandchildren. And even if you don't have children, friends, you have the influence to influence many children. There are many children in our community that need a motherly figure. And I encourage you to take up the task of praying for them, of caring for them. So not only have we seen the reality of their godly lives and the character of their godly lives, I want to thirdly remind you of the content of their godly lives. What did they share with Timothy that made him into the person that he became to be a pastor and a leader in his own community? Well, friends, the thing they shared with him was they shared the word of God with him. They didn't share their own experiences, even though those were important. They made sure that Timothy was grounded, was steeped, was filled with the word of God. Notice, first of all, their lives were grounded in God's word. It says, as for you, Paul writes, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know the people from whom you got it. Friends, they could give to Timothy because they filled their own lives with the word of God. They had nothing. The lives of Lois and Eunice were saturated in God's word. There are two words used for the knowledge that we gain. We can gain knowledge through our intuition. You know, you can come across somebody and you just know there's something wrong about that person. But you can gain knowledge through what we would call scientific discovery. You study it, you learn it, you investigate it, you put it under the microscope until you're absolutely convinced that what is in that thing that you are studying is truth. And that is the word that is used, dear friends. Lois and Eunice, friends, studied the word of God. They investigated the word of God. They made it part of their everyday lives. They didn't just kind of believe it because everybody's believing it. They made sure, friends, that they understood the truth of the word of God as well as they possibly could, because they themselves had studied it. Secondly, their lives were enlightened by the word of God. Verse 15 says, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith and in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we read books to get information. Like if you want to learn how to cook a particular recipe, you go to a recipe book and you read the recipe and you follow the recipe and then you can do what you're wanting. Sometimes we read books for entertainment. We read whatever book you might like to read, mysteries or dramas or romance novels, whatever it may be. But friends, there is only one book you can read that can enlighten you, that can give you spiritual truth, and that is the Word of God. Like Paul is encouraging Timothy to study the Word of God so that he may come to salvation through the Word of God. It's only through God's words, friends, that we can come into a knowledge of who Jesus is. That is what these women did. They put their faith and trust in God. They studied God's words, friends, because it's only God's word that can make you wise. Other things can give you knowledge, but only God's words can make you wise. And thirdly, their lives were equipped by God's word. Not only were they grounded in God's word, not only were their lives enlightened by God's word, but their lives were equipped with God's word. It says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I wonder where Paul got those words from. Have you ever thought about that? What does a mother do? A mother teaches, rebukes, corrects, trains. Paul, friends, is thinking of Lois and Eunice as he writes this letter to Timothy. Scripture is God-breathed and is useful, just like a mother teaches and rebukes and corrects and trains. So the scriptures teach and rebuke and correct and train in righteousness, so that who the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, one of the greatest gifts we can give to our children is to teach them God's word. I've mentioned this many times before, and I will say it many times into the future. Friend, there are only two things we take with us into eternity. One of them is the souls of those whom God has given the privilege to lead to Christ. And the other one is the Word of God. Because the Bible says the Word of God will never pass away. Everything else is going to disappear, friends. Everything else you give to your children, all the money and all those other things you want to give them, everything else will pass away. But God says, my word will never pass away. The greatest gift you can give your child, friends, is a knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. That was the legacy. That was the influence of Lois and of Eunice. They influenced their children, their child, and probably many others to fall in love with the Word, to make the Word part of their lives, so that Timothy, friends, would become a strong leader into the future. We thank the Lord for the influence of godly women. Women who've taken the time to input our lives. Women who continue to take the time, friends, to make a difference in the world in which we live. And may they be honored for all that they do, just as we honor Christ for what he has done for us. So we want to rejoice and reflect on what they have done in our lives as well. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have touched our lives. You've made us part of who you are. Thank you that you, through your word, Lord, can make a great difference. Thank you, Lord, for people like mothers and grandmothers who have influenced us to have a love for the Word of God. Teach us your truth through them. Help us, the Lord, to use your word to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.